A Question of Belief. Written by Margaret York and read by Rula Lenska.
Chapter 1. He'd left her everything. The house and the mortgage, even the car, because that would be found where he had abandoned it near the river. She'd think he'd jumped in, and after a while his death would be presumed and she'd get probate. Did that take 7 years? There might be complications, but she would be able to carry on a normal life. He didn't think she'd hurry to report him missing. She wouldn't want him back. By the time she took action or the car was found, he'd be far away. He'd made no plans. He had no goal. He was a broken, defeated man, and he did not know what else to do. At least she would be free of him, free from the shame. At first, when he was released on bail before the trial, he had planned to kill himself, but that would have been too easy. It would have been a confession of guilt. But then she and everyone else he cared about believed he'd done it. Andrew, his student's son, had said, "Surely there are other ways, Dad," almost with pity, but contempt had been there too. The boy had been mocked by his friends, and so had Jackie, his daughter, who was still at school. It had been worse for her, because they had always been so close. "I can't expect you to understand, only to believe in me," he'd said, and had made a move to hug her, but she had drawn back from him in revulsion. That was what had killed his final hope of support. Leslie, his wife, had at first accepted what he told her had happened, but when he was dismissed from Laborys, the large store where he was a departmental manager, she had changed her mind. He'd been given no opportunity to defend himself before it went to court. There was no internal inquiry, and at that stage taking legal action would have meant risking a huge financial loss if he failed. He had consulted a solicitor who had pointed out the hazards.
"It seems you've got no proof," he said. "It's her word against yours. You'd need witnesses to testify on your behalf."
He had tried to find them, but none of his colleagues was prepared to be involved, though one or two showed sympathy and even regret.
"You'd have been safe if you'd gone along with it," said Bob from Soft Furnishings. "That's what I did, and after a bit she let me go."
He'd grinned sheepishly.
"It was all right," he said. "An experience. Taught me to be more careful in the future."
"What if Polly'd found out?" he'd asked, horrified. Polly was Bob's wife.
"She didn't," Bob had answered. "And if you tell her," he'd added, suddenly menacing, "I'll say you made it up to get yourself off the hook."
But then she'd gone to the police, made it public. Disappearing now, he'd got some money, not a lot, because if he took any out of the bank account, suicide would be discounted. He had almost £100, saved from his Social Security payment, his watch, which he could sell, and he took the radio from the car because that was what car thieves went for, and it would look as if the abandoned vehicle had been pillaged. He left it unlocked, with the keys in the ignition. It was to be a long time before the thought of revenge occurred to him. Autumn seemed to be lasting forever. Francis Dixon could not remember when the trees had displayed such brilliant shades of gold and russet, and for so long. Throughout October, the leaves hung upon the branches, reluctant to give up their hold, and sunlight shafted down among them for days on end. She savoured it. Such moments were for treasuring. She spent many hours working in her garden, planting still more bulbs, though in the years since she'd lived at Badger's End, she had naturalised hundreds under the apple trees. It was partly because of its name, and partly because of its garden, that she had bought the house nearly 10 years ago in an act of defiance. It was a square Edwardian stone house with a slate roof, not beautiful, but sound. "It seems solid enough," her daughter Hazel had grudgingly admitted when brought on a voyage of inspection, permitted by her mother only after the contract had been signed. Frances had sold her house in Hertfordshire quite easily and at a good price. She had lived there for a long time, and she moved before the recession sent prices down.